You all here today. It is truly a blessing to be here. I don't know if you're like me. I'd much rather have Jeff up here. He's with us here today, and that is an honor to have him here. It's a good thing I'm not in competition with him, or with Scott, or with Roger, or with Mike. These men have given us lessons the last few weeks. I'm just up here trying to do my part, and hopefully I want to be up front with you. What I want you to get out of this lesson is an appreciation for the local church. I want you to acknowledge what a blessing it is to be part of a local church. I want you to see God's wisdom and God's love in the local church, and specifically in this local church. This is a family, and God designed it that way. And so what better passage to turn to? I know you're thinking the same thing. Let's go to 1 Corinthians to learn about a loving congregation. Of course not, but we can still learn from them because there's a family in the Corinthian church that really get it, that really understand what it means to be part of a church family. And we talked briefly 2 months ago on a Wednesday night about this family, and so this is a little deeper look at this family. A lot of these closing comments get kind of breezed through in class times and even in commentaries. So we're going to take a few more minutes. We don't have time to dig in completely to this passage. A little Christmas gift to you early is that I cut a lot out. But there's still plenty to learn from this passage. The Holy Spirit inspired this passage, didn't he? 1 Corinthians 16, starting in verse 15. Now I urge you, that means pay attention, this is important. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that they were the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves for ministry to the saints. That you also be in subjection to such men, and to everyone who helps in the work and labors. I rejoice over the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they have supplied what was lacking on your part. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men. It's a beautiful passage. That's an interesting passage. There is a lot in that passage. And we do need to think of the context of the Corinthians to really appreciate. Paul's just not throwing a few, closing comments out at the end of his letter. These are important to them and to us because the Corinthian church, they were dysfunctional, weren't they? They were infants in Christ, Paul called them, babes in Christ. And we want to make 2 points about that. They were in Christ, which is really mind-blowing to think about that church being called the church of God in the first chapter. They were called saints with all the stuff that they had messed up. Paul loved them dearly. God loved them dearly. He was still giving them spiritual gifts, which is just, I don't even understand that. They were self-centered. They were worldly-minded. And it was frustrating to Paul because he'd spent 18 months with them. And I don't know how long it had been since he had been with them, but I know he didn't leave them in this state. They had spiraled down. They had let the world come back in to their way of thinking, their way of living, their way of treating one another. They were arrogant. They were envying. They were full of strife. They were full of divisions. They were suing one another, for crying out loud. And so this passage is really getting at humility instead of arrogance. It's really getting at honoring instead of envying. It's really getting at peace instead of strife. It's really getting at unity instead of division. They would have served themselves well had they read Psalm 133. Thank you, Mike. 133, Psalm 133, that's a beautiful psalm. And like Mike said, there's some things in there that we don't really get because of our culture. But what I want to just briefly take away from that psalm is that oil running down the beard of Aaron, that was refreshing. That was fragrant. The dew, that's refreshing. That's something that we should appreciate, unity. That's something God appreciates. And so this passage is about respect. It's about teamwork, sacrifice, service. It's about being a light in the world, isn't it? Roger talked about that. It's about putting the kingdom of God first. Scott talked about that last week. It's about being useful in God's kingdom. It's about glorifying God. It's about valuing one another and valuing the church. It's about love. And it's interesting because the verse right before this says, let all that you do be done in love. And it's almost like Paul's thinking, oh, speaking of love, take a look at the household of Stephanas, because they get it. Love was an issue in that church. The lack of love. Paul spent a whole chapter in the midst of a spiritual gift discussion that they had put so much emphasis on. And he's like, you don't get it. Those spiritual gifts, they're temporary. Love. Love is eternal. And two words at the beginning of chapter 14. Pursue love. That is an action word. That is a hard word. That is a challenging word. That is something that should drive us. Pursue love. Colossians 3:14 says, put on love, the perfect bond of unity. Well, what does it mean to be devoted? We're going to look at a couple of ideas in this passage. And the first one is devoted. They devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. What do you think about when you hear the word devoted? I asked Lana that, and she said, let's see, kind, loving, helping others with a good attitude. You might think of a devoted husband, right? Or a devoted wife. You might think of loyalty, faithfulness, commitment. Well, we've got a family here that were devoting themselves. They were committed to helping their other family, their church family. The word devoted there is tasso. I don't know how you pronounce it. I'm going to say tasso. To put in order, to place in a certain order, to arrange, to assign a place, to appoint. And so these people had arranged themselves, had ordered their lives around helping their brethren. What a beautiful thing. Old King James, they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That's an interesting translation, isn't it? We don't think of addictions as a good thing, but in this case, it's a beautiful thing to God and to the brethren. You know, we're members, we're citizens of an upside-down kingdom, aren't we? There's a lot of paradoxes in Scripture. And there's one in Matthew. This is right after James and John had come to Jesus along with their mother, wanting prominent positions. Sit on the right and left hand of Jesus. And Jesus corrected them. They don't know what they're asking. And the other 10 were angry, a little indignant towards James and John. And Jesus offered these words, trying to get them to see what his kingdom was all about. The way to be great was to humble yourself. Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave." And of course, this is the most important part of the passage. "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." If we want to really be something for God, we need to humble ourselves. We need to put other people above us, their needs. And that's hard to do. But if our Lord and Savior can do it, Jesus arranged his whole life around service, didn't he? He had a life, period, on this earth. He became human so that he could serve us in his living and, more importantly, in his dying. And the household of Stephanas, they got that. And the Corinthians needed to see that. Ephesians 2:10, "We are his workmanship. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." Titus 2:14, "Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds." You know, the book of Titus is an awesome book. You should go home and read it. It's 3 chapters. It won't take you very long at all. 7 times, I think it is, good works is mentioned in that book. Devoted people, they're refreshing, aren't they? What do you think about when you hear the word refreshing? I thought of a lot of cold things for some reason. A cold drink on a hot day, it's going to be like 90 today. A cold shower after working outside on a hot day. Cool mountain air can be very refreshing, can it? How about a nice restful nap? Lana would kill for a restful nap right now. Those things are refreshing, right? We can be those things to people, to our brethren, with just small things. It doesn't have to. It can be a cup of cold water, right? As Jesus talks about in Matthew 25. It can be a handshake and a smile here at the building. It can be engaging someone in a longer conversation and really asking them, "How you're doing? How are you doing?" You know, I was in conversations last Sunday, and there was a bunch of stuff that I needed to remember to pray for just coming out of those little short conversations. And I'll get this out of the way now. Prayer is such an important part of us serving one another. So valuable. I don't value it enough. I don't do it enough. I don't do it enough where I'm truly focused and thoughtful. And we can pray about each other's physical challenges, but we need to pray for our spiritual well-being. Because the devil is real and he's out there and he wants us. Amen. And you remember Epaphras, or Epaphras, in Colossians 4. He was always laboring earnestly, I think it says, for the Colossians, and it was for their spiritual health. And of course, Paul, over and over again in his letters, let people know, I'm praying for your spiritual health. And that's refreshing to know that someone's praying for you, isn't it?
Amen.
It's a blessing to be part of a family that cares for one another, that looks out for one another. So this is an interesting part of the verse. Be in subjection to such as these is a better translation, and to everyone who helps in the work and labors. Submit yourselves to people of this character. You know, there's lots of shades of meanings to words, and in the New Testament that's no different. And the word submit, we might automatically think of where there is an authority figure that we're supposed to submit to, right? That one comes to mind probably a lot, especially wives ought to submit to their husbands. And of course, the church is subject to Christ. Obey your leaders and submit to them, the elders. And that is one of the uses of the word submit, where God has ordained an authority, a hierarchy, and we're supposed to recognize that and honor that. But of course, in those relationships, there's a mutual submission as well. Because me as a husband, I need to submit to Lana's needs. Parents, as parents, need to submit to their children's needs, although children are supposed to obey and honor their parents. But we also know of Ephesians 5:21, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And so out of respect for Christ, we're supposed to all submit to one another. And that's basically putting the needs of you in front of me, out of respect for God and Christ. And it's interesting, in the Ephesians 5 chapter, that's where Roger preached on, that's where our theme verse for this month is, of righteous living in a wicked generation. And then we have this general submission, and then it goes on to more specific submission, like wives, and there's some other passages there. Children, I think, is in there, and slaves to masters. But submission, if you back up into Ephesians 5, submitting is being filled with the Spirit. It's pleasing God. It's walking wisely. It's walking as children of light. It's walking in love. It's a fragrant aroma. Paul points that out, how Christ's sacrificial service was a fragrant aroma to God. And we can be that fragrant aroma to God. Yeah, we're not going to have to most likely lay down our literal lives for one another. But we can make sacrifices for one another. And we can give God a fragrant aroma. So the word, and we know this, there's a couple play on words in this passage, and I think that's why Paul used this word specifically, because devoted is the word tasso. Submit is the word hupotasso. And so, you know, we know it's a military term, meaning to arrange troop divisions in a military fashion under the command of a leader, and so there's where you have a use of it, where there's an authority. But in a non-military use, it was a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. And so that's really, it's not as general as Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another in the fear of Christ. But it's more related to that than where you have someone in authority. Because the household of Stephanus, they were just people like me and you. As far as we know from Scripture, the Corinthian church didn't have elders and deacons. And so these are just, like I said, a family that really got it, that really understood what it was to be part of a church family. And so it wasn't so much about honoring, obeying. It was more about honoring and cooperating. These people have been submitting to your needs. Submit to them. Get on board with what they're doing. Follow their lead. Be inspired. And so the first thing you need to do that is just to acknowledge them. And here's another play on words. You know them. They've been around since the beginning of your church, of your family. But do you really know them? And that word acknowledged there previously in 1 Corinthians, that same word is translated fully know, recognize. And so you know the household of Stephanus. Do you really know them? I don't think they did. Paul talks about, hey, they've refreshed you. I'm not sure if they really realized what a blessing they were. I could be wrong about that, but it seems to me Paul's trying to get them, because they were so self-centered. When you're self-centered, you don't really do much for anyone else, and you don't really appreciate when things are being done for you. They needed to recognize really who the household of Stephanus was, what they were doing for God and for them. There's a synergy concept in this passage. You know what synergy is? Well, it's the interaction or cooperation of two or more people in this context, where the effect that is produced is greater working together than the separate effects would be. And that phrase, helps in the work, is where we get the word synergy. In fact, when you see the word co-worker or fellow worker, that word is where we get the word synergy. And Paul loved to praise his brethren, didn't he? I mean, read Romans 16. It's just one verse after another of people that Paul appreciated. And a lot of them, he points out throughout his letters, you know, these guys work hard for me. These guys work hard for you. They're a fellow worker of me. You know, note them. I have a question for you. Where were you on March 1st, 2015? Do you remember? The Suddiths were in Oklahoma. I remember that. Maybe this picture will jog your memory. Does that look familiar? Do we walk by it every time we're here, in and out of the auditorium? I tried to increase the contrast there so you could read it. I know it's not exceedingly readable to a lot of you, but you can read it back there today as you leave. But this is from Scott's sermon. Are you a wall builder? Remember that? And he had dumped a bunch of bricks out. It was really interesting to go back and listen to it online because, you know, it's like you don't hear much and then these bricks get dumped out. And Scott always has great props, if you want to call them that, as he did last week, and really memorable illustrations, right? And so he had written on here, a lot of these are about our service to one another. Not all of them, but most of them. And so these are ways that we can serve one another. Visit a shut-in, bring a meal to someone sick, organize a singing, write a card to encourage someone. Pray for the church, right? How important is prayer? Call someone. What else? Greet a visitor. Maintain the building, etc. There's so many things we can do as a church outside these walls, right? And there's so many things we can do that relate to these walls. But he asked, are you all in? And he asked people to come up and pick up a brick that we're making a commitment to be all in. And I was a chicken and I didn't come up here, but I made a commitment from my seat. But have I followed through with my commitment? Have you followed through if you came up here and got a brick? Or if you thought in your head, you know, I really need to be more involved with this church family. You know, unity is more than just showing up and getting along. It's more than just, okay, yeah, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. It's about serving one another. Go home and read Philippians, the end of chapter 1, into about the half of chapter 2. And you'll see where unity takes sacrificial service, humble service, because he brings out the sacrifice that Jesus made. And it really culminates with be a light in the world. He who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. Proverbs 18:1. He also who is slack in his work is brother to him who destroys. Yikes. Those are pretty powerful passages in the book of Proverbs. And so it's really, when we're not involved, it's really tearing down unity rather than promoting unity. And it's just something we need to think about always. So, do you want to be refreshing? Do you think you would like to be described as refreshing? 2 months ago, as I said, I did a 5-minute message. Let's see, how much time do we have? Oh, we're good. Got plenty of time to ramble on. I did a talk. We were 1 month in to Hurricane Aiden. And we were in survival mode. As all of you parents know, your first child. We're still in survival mode a lot of days. It's getting better. But those first 6 weeks, really 2 months, man. And we, you know, we had to kind of circle the wagons, right? We had to rely on you to help us more than we could help you at that point. And we've all been there with all of our cancer survivors and here. There are times when you just have to circle the wagons and survive. And you're not doing much serving for other people at that time. And so I had put a list of 30 families that had really been a source of refreshment to us that first month. Because Lana had 28 hours of labor and several complications, and she was just laying in bed for a week or two. I forget, such a blur. She was just laying in bed. And man, we needed your help, and we got it. And I had 30. So if you missed that, I'm sorry, but if you don't like your name up here, then that's good, but you might be mad at me again because there's going to be some names up here. Because they deserve to be recognized. They deserve to be honored, like this passage is talking about. So I didn't want to do that again, so I asked some of you, you know, who in your life here at Sumner, past or present, living or dead, who has really been noteworthy in their service to you? Man, it was so incredible to talk to people about that. Because you could hear the love and appreciation in their voices. Talking about these people that mean so much to them. And to read some of the people I texted, and to just read, you know, they all explained why these people were so special to them. And it was so wonderful. You should do that. Just go up to someone. Who's especially been helpful to you here? Tell me about that. It's encouraging to know so many people love and care for one another here. And God is glorified by that. So I'm sorry if you really wish your name wouldn't be up here. But I'm not sorry in some ways. Because this is important. Again, I want people to appreciate what it means to be part of a loving church. And yeah, can we increase? Can we do better? Sure. Because sometimes I'm lazy. And that's the beauty. Because there's someone who's going to pick up my slack. Someone who's going to encourage me to stop being lazy. And that's the beauty of a local church, isn't it? So these people, and most of you drive, right? How about a commute? Are you on a commute every day? I do a commute every day, Monday through Friday. I have the opportunity, especially at night, to let other drivers either turn in front of me or turn and get in front of me. Do you have that opportunity to help someone out on your commute? Do you expect a wave, a courtesy wave, when you do that? Do you do it to get the courtesy wave? Are you mad when you don't get the courtesy wave? You know, these people aren't serving us to get the wave. But they deserve the wave, don't they? And we should be proud to know these people. And honestly, a lot of these people were mentioned more than once. From the people I talked to. And several people said, oh, there are so many I could name. Isn't that refreshing? Oh, man. 1 Corinthians 12, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. And so if your name is not up here, don't be jealous. Don't be angry. Just be happy for these people. You know, you could say so much. There's some former members up here. There's a couple that have gone on to their reward, Elsie and Jerry. And these are people part of our family, either here or there. And there's about 20 names up there. And some of the names on my list a couple months ago, they're duplicated up there. So let's be encouraged. That's all I'm really wanting us to be, is to be encouraged. Because it's easy to focus on the negatives. It's easy to get annoyed with one another. But there's so much love here. Okay, here's one more slide, and there's going to be some people's names on it again. And there's going to be some repeats. But this is where I think we can do better for sure, is in the building cleanup and the communion prep. That last slot has finally been filled in, I think, by the Johnsons. Thank you. And, you know, every year, and even Scott mentioned this in his lesson 4 years ago, and it had been a problem even before that for years, is it takes so long for this list to get filled up, doesn't it? And this isn't so much about serving one another outside this building, but it's serving one another so that we can come to this building and partake of the Lord's Supper and to have clean pews and clean bathrooms. Oh, man, thank you. Whoever signs up for restroom duty, that's awesome. Because nobody wants that one. As you can see, the last one available that the Johnsons filled. But we had, I remember, an announcement in June that there was still a slot open in July. And honestly, there's been years where it's been July, August, September, and all the slots, you know, haven't been filled yet. And this is one way you've supplied what is lacking on our part, Lana and me, is we decided not to sign up this year because of all the unknowns of having a human being to take care of. And so some of you stepped up. Daniel Latte's name is on there like 12 times or something. You know. It's a beautiful thing. But it shouldn't. We have a large congregation, relatively speaking. And it really shouldn't be needed that so many people always sign up multiple times. Really shouldn't be needed. But God bless them for doing that, for being willing to do that. Amen. And there's ideas. If you've never done any of this, talk to someone and they'll help you do it. Talk to Daniel. Hey, can I help you? One of your 12 times you're coming down here? I'll meet you down here and help you. Or, hey, can I split the month with you? You know, I'll do it 2 weeks and you do it 2 weeks. If you do it together, what a great way to get to know one another better. Maybe go get an ice cream cone after you clean the building. Talk some more. I appreciate Daniel. I appreciate the Johnsons. I appreciate Darlene. I appreciate, who else? These are relatively new members of our church family who have stepped up. Who else is on there? The Webbers are on there somewhere. They're relatively new. I think those are all the new people. And while I'm on the new people, have you gotten to know, we've had a lot of new members this year and going back to a year ago. Let me read these names and see if you know who these people are. And if you don't, get to know them. I need to get to know these people. How about Doug and Erica Dvorak, Frank Klein, Mike and Lisa Brenneman, Darlene Boydston, Brian, Sharon, Matt Weber, Lyle and Kathy Johnson, Donna Lacoste, Daniel Latte, Alex Deaton. Those two made a renewal of their Christianity, of their faith, about a year ago now. And they wanted to join us. Have you encouraged them in their walk, in their spiritual health? Eve Shires got baptized about a year ago. Have you and I prayed for her? Have you and I talked to her? How's it going? How is your Christian walk? These are things I haven't done enough of. Raina Burrell, she was baptized, although I don't think she's officially a member of our congregation. Have you prayed for her? Nathan and Noel Barrington, that'll be announced today. They are part of our fellowship now. And they need some help next Saturday. And unfortunately, as I told Nathan, we've already committed to being somewhere else next Saturday, out of town. But can you help them out? You know, the Dvoraks needed help yesterday, and I talked to Erica, and she said they had plenty of people for what they needed. There was a great turnout for the Despain, Wanda Despain's memorial, and that's so wonderful to hear. Beyond all these things, put on love, the perfect bond of unity. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. It's such a blessing to be part of this church, to be a child of God in Sumner, Washington. I hope you feel that too. I hope you understand the wisdom of God, the love of God in a local church. Because he's working through us. 2 Corinthians 1 talks about paying it forward, so to speak, with the comfort of God. We need to comfort other people with the comfort that we get from God. God has no hands but our hands, right? We sing that song. So if you're not a part of this church family and you want to be, you need to be a Christian first and foremost. And that takes humbling yourself. It takes submitting to God's will. And he asks you to do some things, to show that you believe him. He asks you to believe in him, but he asks you to repent. He asks you to confess. He asks you to be baptized, to wash away all those sins that are separating you from him. And it takes humility. It takes some guts to get up here in front of everyone. But you have that opportunity now. So, if there's anyone who wants to name the name of Christ, put your Lord on in baptism, you have that opportunity. If there's anyone here that needs the prayers of the congregation, that needs help, please come forward. And we will help you the best we can as we stand and sing.
This world is not my home.